Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sarah Bennett Woods is brought to you by Indeed. With Indeed, you don't need a storm to catch lightning in a bottle. Find great people fast with hiring tools like Instant Match, which searches millions of resumes in Indeed's database to deliver people whose resumes fit your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit. 1 week in, Woods, to the baseball season. We're going to talk to Jesse Rogers from ESPN about all the top stories this early stage of the year. Do that right after our last check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. And we go out to our premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. We are joined by ESPN's Jesse Rogers, just fantastic covering the game of baseball. Jesse, it is always great to have you here on Ben and Woods here in San Diego. Good morning.
Good morning to you guys. Good to be with you.
I want to start because we had some Padres fans this week who got a little early panic after the team kind of had a so-so opening homestand and lost yesterday to fall to 4-3. I noticed that you're one of the voters in the ESPN Power Rankings. ESPN didn't drop the Padres, had them 3 right where they are before. It just goes to show you, Jesse, you can't really judge a team by 1 week of a season.
No. I mean, if anything, you'd drop them because their star player might be injured. That'd be a reason to drop them. But you know, it's interesting. I cover the White Sox. I'm in the Midwest, and the Sox and Padres have one thing in common early on, besides being picked by a lot of people in the offseason as two up and coming teams. They've both made a lot of errors in the first week,
yep,
giving up a lot of unearned runs. Could that be because of the sort of pressure and the reading the press clippings and who knows? I mean, it's 1 week. But I don't think either team is going to have a season-long trend of making this many errors. Right now, maybe they're not going to be at the top of the league in defense, but if they continue this trend, they both set records in terms of unearned runs given up and things like that. So you sort of wonder what goes into things, you know, what goes into a rough start in one area of your game. But then you realize what's important and what's not. And I don't think those unearned runs are important. I think the fact that the Padres aren't giving up a lot of earned runs is very impressive.
Yes.
So you kind of got to look at what's real and what's not. And I think the Tatis injury is more real than, let's say, those errors that the Padres have made.
Yeah, it's a great point you make. I'm curious. I watched the, I believe it was Sunday night, ESPN broadcast. It was the White Sox Angels, and they were talking to Giolito, who's just one of the, you know, one of those guys. If he's in town, you want to buy a ticket and go watch him pitch. He's so good, commands his zone so well. He's got such good stuff. They were talking to him about Tony La Russa, and I was wondering, as somebody that covers, you know, that area and that team, I know it's very, very early, but by all accounts, early returns kind of proving at least me and I think maybe my co-host and a few other people a little egg on our face. We'll see how it shapes out, but early returns seem like he's pretty well liked so far.
Yeah, I mean, he has said and done all the right things from the moment he was hired to this point. Yesterday, in fact, I've almost never heard a manager say this, let alone a Hall of Fame manager, third winningest of all time. They lost yesterday in Seattle, and he completely blamed himself. You got to get the audio. I mean, you rarely hear a manager say, it's my fault, I mismanaged this inning. And so my point of saying all this, including what he said yesterday, is he's come in very humble. He's come in stating publicly he needs to prove something on the field and off. He's had some off-the-field problems, had to deal with a second DUI just as he got hired. That came out publicly. So I think if he came in with a I-know-it-all attitude, it'd be a lot different. But he's come in humble. He's already admitted a big mistake, as he said yesterday. His defense has been shaky. He needs to sort of, you know, push the right buttons there to get guys to relax. I mean, you could go two ways. You can, you know, lower the hammer on them, or you can sort of lighten up. And I think the answer is probably to lighten up, because it's almost like the mental side of hitting on defense. Like, the more you don't hit, the less you want to talk about it. The more errors you make, yeah, you want to stress it, but sort of it's almost like the less you want to talk about it, unless there's something intrinsically going on there. So I think he knows what buttons to push, and the fact that he's come in humble, I think it's been a huge, huge thing for this team.
It was awesome to hear Giolito say, yeah, so I had a phone call with Tony La Russa, you know, right when he got the job, and he fully expected La Russa to be like, this is the way we're going to do it, you know, listen to me, we're going to be fine. He goes, he barely talked. I ended up talking the whole time, and I thought that right there kind of jumped off the screen at me as something, Jesse, to look at. Now, across town, Chicago Cubs are you know, I spent some time in Chicago, know a lot of Cubs fans, some of my dearest friends. They're probably panicking just a little bit. They've got good hitters on the team. They're just not hitting good right now.
Yeah, but it's 3 years of this with this team. It's not a recent phenomenon. So, yeah, you could say it's early. Of course, it's early, and things could turn around. A lot of these hitters won a World Series, but it seems like it's the same thing every year. There's just the individuals are better than the sum. It's weird. You put it all together, and, you know, I've been told by opposing pitchers, Cub hitters can get out the same way. So if you're a certain type of pitcher, you can mow through that lineup. A different kind of pitcher, they'll get to you, and they've had wide fluctuations of scoring, you know, one run, 0 runs, and they go to 10. I wouldn't doubt today in Pittsburgh they'll score a lot of runs. It's really frustrating as a fan because you don't know how to view the team. One day it's up, and the next day it's down, and I guess that's the quintessential definition of a 500 team. They're 3-3, but through six games, it's only six, but through six games, they have the second lowest team batting average through six games since 1900. Only the 2013 Pirates had a lower batting average. And this is with good weather in Chicago in opening opening week 70s yesterday and the day before. And they totaled four hits, and that was even with an extra inning in there, 10 innings yesterday. They totaled four hits over the last 2 days. So they're selling. Look, you guys are going to be buying some of the Cubs players come July. Trust me on that. Who knows? If bad news is on Tatis, maybe you buy Javi Baez for 2 months and you go into October with a legit shortstop there. But let's cross your fingers that Tatis is back sooner rather than later.
Jesse Rogers from ESPN is with us. Well, you know, Potter's already bought one Cub, and we've enjoyed him tremendously through spring training and now two starts, and that's you, Darvish. And Jesse, I don't think I ever really got a chance to ask you that question, but as someone who covers the Cubs, I'm still struggling to understand why would you let a pitcher like that go? Did that really make sense for the Cubs? I know Zach Davies got a win in his first start there against the Pittsburgh Pirates, but very happy to have you on this team in San Diego.
Yeah, it just tells you where each team is going, the direction right now. The Cubs are in a retool, and at any moment during that last offseason or coming up during this trade, you know, season, which will be more June and July, if the Cubs hear or see a deal that gets them better for the future, they're going to pull the trigger. So that's the answer on the timing. They heard the right thing. I mean, a lot of Cub fans panned it. They say they traded for four school children. I mean, that's how young the players the Padres gave up are. And Zach Davies, I mean, in terms of drop-off, it's not going from a 1 to a 5, right? It's kind of going from a 1 to a 3. Because, you know, Zach Davies is pretty good. So anyway, I think they just saw the opportunity to restock their farm, and they did it. And they'll do the same thing with Craig Kimbrel or Chris Bryan or whoever else they're able to trade come probably June or July. So that's the Cubs sort of plan here. Let's think about 22, 23 and beyond and retool this thing whenever we get the chance.
And do you expect them, I mean, like you just said, you expect them to be sellers at the deadline? No chance of them kind of piecing it together, making a run in their division? Or, I mean, is that kind of the general consensus right now, is that they're just not looked at as a team that's going to make any sort of run?
Well, my reporting says that. You know, some other people might think differently, but you can't get caught up in like, you know, the standings, I guess, is a weird way of saying it. My point being, they have on their opening day roster, 26 guys, right, 14 that will be free agents after this year. 14 players in their walk years. To think that the manager David Ross is going to be able to navigate all that, and they're actually going to like buy at the deadline and go on a run, I just think is fantasy. because what do you do next year? You're going to let everybody walk for nothing? Bryant, Baez, Rizzo, none of these guys are signed up. Davies, Arrieta, you're not going to have a team for the future. So long story short, the Cubs are selling, barring something incredible, which would be first place, three, four, five games in front. And I just don't see that happening. There's just too many things to navigate for this team to be in that position. Obviously, they could prove me wrong, but I think Jed Hoyer is thinking about selling, hence all these guys on one-year deals. He wants to stay flexible. When an executive does that, you know what he's thinking. He's thinking flexibility, payroll, open up some spots. I can do what I want moving forward. Jed Hoyer's first year as the president here. You're not thinking about a championship when you have 14 guys entering their walk years.
Jesse, you came out with a fun piece at ESPN.com yesterday, the 2021 MLB season survey, where you talked to 28 execs, players, scouts anonymously and ask them a bunch of questions about the season. And I wanted to ask you, as you kind of go through this, because we're, as talk show hosts, we're conduits directly to the fans. Fans don't always think the same way as the people who are inside of baseball. Where do you see kind of the biggest differences between the perceptions of the game from inside the game, those players and those execs that you were polling, and what you kind of hear from the fans and what they think about the game and the players in the game?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because I think later on in the summer we're going to do something bigger on the state of the game in a similar way with a survey. But these were more like who's a surprise team and who's a surprise player and stuff like that. But it's still, your question is still valid. For example, within the game, people really love the Kansas City Royals and what they've done. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to be in the playoffs, but they just like what they're doing. Who the heck talks about the Kansas City Royals, right? The fans don't. Nobody talks about it. But they really like what Dayton Moore has done. That guy's been really good. So that's an example of one team to keep an eye on. Play spoiler. They've already proven that they're pretty good early on here. I love the question, nastiest stuff in the game. Like, there's a Milwaukee Brewers reliever. Who knows outside of Milwaukee if you heard of him? Devin Williams.
Yes.
I mean, maybe you have if you're a baseball fan. I mean, it is devastating stuff. Like, five people voted for him as the nastiest stuff in the game. The other two guys to get votes were really Gerrit Cole and Jacob deGrom. Well, those are obvious. So keep an eye on a guy like Devin Williams if you're a fan. Really good, although he's had a tough start to this season through his first couple appearances. So I you're right. There are some things and players and names that come up that are interesting. One thing that was pretty much a unanimous, no one thinks baseball's monitoring of pitchers and the baseballs, the doctoring of baseballs, is going to have a major effect on the game. I thought that was interesting. It was like the vote was like 23-2 or something like that, where most people think it's minimal. They're trying to just put a threat out there so maybe pitchers won't doctor the ball as much. But the actual follow-through, it's really going to take umpires being aggressive, and a lot of people just don't think umpires are going to do that. They're going to have to, if they want to crack down, they're going to have to figure out ways where they don't put the umpires in the middle of this whole thing, because as you probably know, umpires could probably go out to the mound with every pitcher and say, look, what's on your hand and stuff like that. We already see players with things on their hats that they go to, rosin and stuff like that. So I thought that was interesting. Very little effect people within the game think those new monitoring rules are going to make.
Jesse, you're a great guest. I mean, that's probably why ESPN has you doing so much and doing the ESPN radio stuff as well. So we appreciate you giving us some time here in San Diego. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the season and cross your fingers on Tatis. Everyone's hoping
we will.
For sure. Although I did like the idea of Javi Baez, just in case.
I bet you did.
As a backup plan later in the summer if things don't go well with that shoulder the rest of the year. That was intriguing, wasn't it, Woods?
Of course. Are you kidding? I mean, Javi Baez is an absolute G. I mean, yeah, of course. And knowing A.J. Preller, he could probably flip Reggie Lawson for him or something. I mean, nothing against Reggie Lawson, but like,
well, we know the Cubs are willing to take, as they said, what did he call them, children?
Yeah, children.
School children in exchange for you, Darvish.
Headline, Padres acquire Javi Baez, and you're like, oh, God, who did we, what did we do?
Yeah, is it Abrams?
I liked Cronenworth. I like Abrams, man. Like, come on. And then you're like, oh, I've never heard of
that. That's it? Oh, all right. I'm interested to see what AJ does.
Jesse appeared on our Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad fan hotline. Save money the right way with Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Come visit us today in the Carlsbad Auto Mall. Premier Chevrolet of Carlsbad. Find new roads. I'm also intrigued by that survey later in the year. Yeah, the Royals. Juan Soto gets a little more love inside the game than even Fernando Tatis Jr. I know we're definitely so Tatis-centric here, but I mean, Juan Soto, if you're on the East Coast, you know, you're in Washington, there's just as much love over there for Juan Soto as there is for Tatis over here in San Diego. And I don't have a problem with that, Woods.
No, nor do I. But I do feel, you know, we've been talking about the Royals a lot as a team we really like and the moves that they've made. Mm-hmm. And they're hitting the baseball really, really well early in the season. They're fun to watch.
By the way, he didn't mention it, but he mentioned Devin Williams, got a bunch of votes for nastiest stuff. DeGrom, Cole. You know, the other guy who got at least five votes, like those other three guys, it was Yu Darvish. The people in baseball are just very impressed by his stuff. And watching him pitch now, you know, I always say, oh, 11 different pitches, that's crazy. But just the regular stuff, the fastball,
dirty.
I mean, it really plays. I mean, he's got stuff that really, really plays. Once he strikes out just about at the highest rate of anyone in baseball, he strikes out batters.
Yeah, which is why there should not be any panic in this fan base.
Snell yesterday, I mean, just making hitters look silly. It's hard to score runs against guys when you can't make contact. That's rule number one of pitching. If they can't hit you, if they can't make contact, they're not going to score many runs off of you.
Yeah, you're right, man. It's just that's why for the first time in a long time, being a Padre fan, Benny, this is the team that I'm most excited about because of the elite starting pitching and the elite bullpen that we have. So that's what's going to win you a World Series. Our guys are going to hit. They just are. History dictates that they will. And it's just a matter of getting the timing down, getting comfortable. It's been 7 days. There is no reason to put anybody on a hot seat, to DFA anybody, to cut somebody, to send somebody down, to bench somebody. Nothing. There's no reason. 7 games. Relax. Might I recommend calling Paul for a delivery and just relaxing a little bit?
No one making any big moves here on the first day of the Masters. 2 under remains in the lead.
I had to,
with most guys now out on the course on the front nine at least.
So for the tiebreaker, I had to pick the winner's overall score after 4 days. I had 8 under.
Very low. Wow.
So, well, you said...
Well, that's actually not looking bad right now.
You said 20 was last year's, yeah. And that was they were bound and determined to not have that happen again. So I picked a nice, like, average.
3 strokes a day worse, basically, yeah, than last year. All right, now 2 under is the lead. Siwoo Kim, Corey Connors, Christian Bezuidenhout.
How's Brooks doing?
I think he was even last time I checked. Schauffele, Evelyn, McIlroy, even. Dustin, even. A lot of guys at even par right now. So, I mean, everyone's still got a chance. Yeah, Patrick Reed's 1 under. A few guys at 1 under. Hideki Matsuyama is there as well. But John Rahm, 1 under. New dad, John Rahm, at 1 under as well. So we'll keep you updated. We'll be back tomorrow. Second round coverage. And a great show, by the way, tomorrow. We got the Cobra, Dave Parker.
Yeah.
Going to be on. I think, what is he, a new book or something out? Talking about the old days. That'll be fun. It's our Friar Friday, so executive management report. Not sure exactly what it is yet. Craig Elston, of course. First, though, time for our Grand Slam giveaway code word. This hour's code word is treasure. Text TREASURE to 72881 for your chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Messenger data rates apply. Don't drive and text. Tune in. It's 55 past the hour for our code words and our Grand Slam giveaway. Powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. So long.